All right, good morning. We're pressing on with talking about getting to the other side of a decision. I want to start this morning by asking you a couple of questions like usual, and that's going to lead me into asking you a few more questions. So what are some of the decisions that you've had to make this week? You've made decisions all week long. Okay? Every day we choose to get up and go to work. What else? What have you had to decide this week? Hiring and firing. Thank you, Matthew. Which, you know, if we were to get a little bit farther down in the model that we're going to talk about today, there are many, many of the factors that we're talking about that would be involved in that. Certainly the ones that we've already talked about that have to do with principles, that have to do with God revealing things to us. And then today we're also going to talk about the internal part, the inside of us, okay? The part of the decision that resides in us and who God has made us to be and who we're supposed to be and how we are with Him. And all of that is going to be part of what we talk about today. Because it is not part of the equation that we can eliminate. Okay? Other decisions. Okay? All right? The decision to exhibit self-control. Okay? All right? A decision you've had to make this week. I'm trying to keep it recent. Now, I'm meeting with my students one-on-one all this last week. Okay, so I had anywhere from 8 to 14 meetings with students each day for 30 minutes. And I have to, and what I'm doing is as I'm meeting with them, I'm scoring things and trying to get a little bit ahead, but then I get, find some days where I'm like 30 minutes behind and all I can do is say, can you stay? Can you wait? Can you hang in there? I'm sorry, I'm running late. You know, so I'm making decisions about how I'm going to deal with my students one-on-one, about what they're going to do from here, what I can say. You know, sometimes I have to just say, you know where you are right now? You do understand this is where you're going to find yourself. And are you this way with other classes? And if they say yes, then I just say, you do understand you're going to be on academic probation. You know you will be, and what that means for you. You have to understand, because you know if you have a 20 average, we can't solve a 20 the last week and a half of class. It doesn't happen. You can't do everything we took 14 weeks to do in a week and a half. Well, it just won't happen. So to have to talk to students about the real situations and yet not beat them over the head about it. Okay, I mean it's hard to navigate how you deal with those interpersonal interactions. Okay? You may have had interpersonal interactions this week. You don't realize it, but you were making decisions as you considered how to engage in those. Okay? That's a decision. Okay? Because you have a decision to just, like Mickey was kind of saying, you know, a minute ago, or you think, how can I be an agent in this person's life of the grace of God and yet speak truth? Ooh, that's a decision. Perhaps you'll be thinking about some others as we proceed through the morning. Did you get, as you decided what to do you feel like God spoke to you in any way? How did you do that? Okay. So impression was the way you feel like he spoke to you to do all that. And then conviction is the way he came in and spoke to you. Did both there. We need to do a better job of remembering how God communicates with us. Some of us who journal, we have I'm just going to challenge you this week when you know God has helped you with a decision or clarify something you needed to know, write it down. It is biblical because you writing it down is not very much different than when the Israelites crossed the river and then they put a stack of stones there. So that every time somebody in their family or some kid that they had that was their ancestor said, how did that stack of stones get there? They said, this is what God did. This is when He did it. This is how He acted. And hey, we're human and we need that stack of stones in our life because it won't be 2 hours or 3 days, and we're going, oh God, where are you? And we need to look at the stack of stones. So I challenge you to write it down. Okay? What decision are you facing? What situation are you facing? And when God gives you direction, memorialize it. Put it down and say, God did this. And remember it. All right, so we've talked about, over the last couple of weeks, how we hear from God. Wait a second, John. Hold on. Hearing from God through principles in the Bible, like the Ten Commandments. Values in the Bible, like we see Jesus talking about when he shared the parables. And then examples, like we see all throughout the Bible, where it says, hey, pay attention to what God did with them, because you don't want him to do the same thing with you that he did with them. Or you do want him to do the same thing with you that he did with them, by example. And that the Bible has very concrete, revelatory content for us to consider when we are making a decision. And that that is the first line of decision-making simplicity. We'll look at that in just a second. Number two, second day we talk about hearing from God through wise counsel, through prayer, through circumstances, and through impressions, visions, and dreams. We talk about God doing that, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. So now we get to the questions that I want to talk about as we get started. This is sort of a looping back and talking about what we ended with last week. So has God ever spoken to you through a dream, a vision, or impression? Now, if he hasn't, that's okay, because he still has talked to you in some way. He has still tried to communicate or lead you or direct you in some way. I know that. And just because he hasn't done it in this way, it's okay. Because generally I don't. But I have had a couple of dreams that I know are from God. They were very, very pivotal in what is. I look back, and you know how I know that? Because I can't forget it. Second question. How has God used other people to help you make decisions? We don't have enough fingers and toes to do that, do we? Can you think of somebody who has had a significant voice in your life, who has helped you understand what God was trying to say to you, lead you, direct you? Have you had them? Carol. Well, sure. Sure. And for those of you who have done experiencing God at some point, if you've ever done the component of experiencing God that was for married folk, one of the things that Blackaby says that I think is true, he said, if God has spoken to your spouse, he has spoken to you. And that's very interesting. Again, the qualifier is from God, not just somebody ate pizza last night and they got a, you know, wild hair. It's just, if God has spoken to your spouse, they have spoken to you. He has spoken to you. Okay, next question, John. So how has God spoken to you in an audible voice? And with a 2x4, as Brother Larry used to say. Now, you heard it. Okay, now, I want to try to be careful about this. You heard it in here. There are some people who literally hear it out here. Okay? I mean, there is biblical content to support that God does do that at times. Okay? Obviously, it is not one of those where it's quite frequent, but it does happen. So, for me, I guess on one or two occasions feel like in my spirit I hear a voice and I know it's God. But I've never heard audibly, like sound waves being caught by my eardrum, an actual voice. Some people have, but I haven't. Or Balaam's donkey. You know, you're not going to consult me. I think I'll just speak through a donkey and maybe you'll get it, you know. Okay, John. So do we need to make sure that these words are from God? Why? Why do we have to make sure that when we hear from God these ways, that we're sure? Audrey's response is probably the first one. Again, the thing that is the most solid, the most immovable, the most consistent is making sure that we run everything through the grid of principle, values, and examples in biblical revelation first. Then if it passes that, or there is no specific check in that, then we move to say, okay, then we've got this layer, and that the two don't conflict in any way, and there's no checks or questions, then okay, then we move these other things that we're going to talk about. Does this make sense? Because God's still using these other things, and we don't want to ignore these other things. But the biggest thing is going back to principles, values, and examples. Whenever we hit the, I hear this word, how do I know? Does that make sense? Because of these things that you've pulled out, is that people can do and say crazy things, fully believing that somebody is speaking to them. Okay, so today we're going to look at the model. We're building the model. Okay, so hang in there with the model. I'm using the illustration of a filter. Okay, whenever we make a decision, so we have a choice demanding a decision, and that first, most solid, essential part of this is there something in God's revelation, principles, values, and examples that has something to do with this decision? Is there something explicit that I do not need to ignore? So, God's principles, values, and examples, in this case, in this model, do determine a course of action. There is content that's clear, and I do not need to question. So here's my example. You might like it, you might not like it, but it is what it is. So there's clear biblical teaching, which would indicate believers are to obey civil authority. It is clear. There is nothing to argue about. In 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17, and Titus 3, 1 through 2, which are examples in the New Testament, and then Jesus himself on several occasions affirmed things like paying taxes was good and reasonable, whether it was secular or sacred. Each context, he said, yes, do it. Luke 20, 20 through 26, and Matthew 17, 24 through 27. Therefore, believers should not be dishonest in paying taxes or fail to fulfill their tax responsibilities. There is no excuse. It's clear. The whole thing is, it's biblical. We can't argue with it. We can dislike it. But that doesn't mean that we can trump what the decision should be. Now, we don't make the right decision. We open ourselves up to anything outside the cover of God. That makes sense? We start making decisions that aren't in line with what the revealed word of God says, then we are opening ourselves up to all kinds of things. Make sense? Okay, is that example fit for you? You understand? Second example. Okay, so we have a choice demanding a decision. We considered God's principles, values, and examples, and there seemed to be nothing that specifically deals with this situation that we're in. And we're going to talk about situation next week, but in the context of what we're deciding. And then as we listen to wise counsel, prayer, dreams, visions, impressions, we consider those. And what we find is, first of all, there's no clear direction or prohibition in biblical revelation. It doesn't say, do this, don't do that. There's no value that says you ought to or ought not. Then we listen to people, and we pay attention to impressions. We pay attention to that kind of stuff that where God is speaking to us. And so we get an example like this. A job opportunity presents itself, but it's in North Dakota. I'm living in Savannah, Georgia. Okay? Now, wait. You have had literal, listen to the situation, okay? You have had literal dreams about a rugged, mountainous place. You've been having these dreams for a while. A friend that has in the past perceived what God was doing and spoken to you in your life has been praying with you, and they've actually once upon a time lived in North Dakota. And it's pretty clear that the conviction is that God is talking to you. Okay? We go back to the first, there's nothing there. Okay, so we are saying there's no prohibition. We don't have anything clear there. So we're trying to pay attention to God speaking to us. Okay, because it doesn't violate any principles, values, or examples. There is nothing that would say go or not go. Does this make sense? So where we are here is we've gone through the first part of the filter. We're now in the second part of the filter, and we're seeing where it's directing us. So right now, it seems that if I were making this decision, that I would be, at this point, just considering these two things, that it might be a go. Does it make sense? All right. So today, we're getting to the third part of this. So we've looked at the first part, which is, John, go ahead and click that. There you go. The principles, values, and examples. The second part, the wise counsel, prayer, dreams, and visions. And then this part, we're coming to our shape, our submission and conformity to Christ, and then kingdom principles or kingdom priorities that we may hold to and that are guiding our life. So we're going to look at this. So far, are you with me? Filter working for you? Okay. So let's look at this a little bit. I've got questions. So to begin with, one of the things that we need to understand is that God does not do anything at just one point in time, irrespective of everything going on in history. So your right now was partially determined by your first breath. I didn't say fully, but partially. So when you were born, there were certain things that you were given as a package in life. And I'm using the word shape to describe that. For instance, it mattered not that I enjoyed playing sports a lot whenever I grew up. I weren't going to play in the NFL. I'm 5'3". I weighed 140 pounds when I left high school. In college, I left about 152. I was not playing in the NFL. It didn't matter what my interest, talents, or even my athletic ability was, unless I could run like a 4.240, because I would have to be fast enough to get away from everybody being that small. You understand? There are certain things just ain't happening. Now, for other people, it's a matter of maybe intellectual limitations, or it may be some type of physical limitation, such as eyesight, or, you know, I mean, obviously, if my eyesight's not perfect, I'm not going to be a pilot. You understand that, right? You got to have 20/20, or you don't do it. Okay, so there's certain things about life and where we end up that are dictated by just being born the way God had us be born. God was speaking in that, and the problem with that for a lot of us is that we want to get mad about that instead of being a good steward of who we are and who God's made us to be and excelling in what He gives us and being at peace with it. It doesn't matter. If I were angry about not being 6 foot tall, I can't do anything about it. There's nothing changing that. I can be mad about God at it, but it's stupid because He gave me who I am for a reason. Is this making sense to you? That's where we start. So John, the first thing is then part of who we are is our personality style. You know, we have given little inventory thingies. We've done DISC, which is D-I-S-C, you know, dominant, and then I is interactive, I think, and then S is steady, and C is me and Audrey, which is, we are the people that make sure everything stays organized and that they are spot on the way they're supposed to be and that there's a schedule and we don't go, okay, and that we have this tether, okay, that goes into outer space where we make sure Dusty doesn't float off somewhere, okay? So that is, you know, we're a mix, okay? We're either dominated by one of those in general, and there's Biro B. There's a lot of different types of inventories that you can fill out. But generally, they kind of put you in like four or five different types. And it has to do with being a driver, you know, in charge type person all the time, controller, okay, or organizer, or winsome people person like Dusty, or S, which is 80-something percent of the population, which is I don't like change. Okay, that's true. S is the, you know, that steady personality that does not like change is the largest portion of the population in our country. I don't know about other countries, but in our country, that is the way it is. So knowing how we are wired is important because it is a part of the decisions that we have to make. Do you see that? I can apply for a job that has got to do with my interests. It has to do with maybe my skills. But then if I look at the kind of person that they want to hire, I may not be that person. They want somebody to be a people person who does not get exhausted being out in front of people all day long. Guys, doing these conferences, at the end of the day, I am a doormat. Because I like people, but having to be intensive with students from a very different background, so I may care about them, I may want to help them, but it exhausts the stuffing out of me. Because I am not an I personality. I do not get energized by that. I get drained by that. Especially whenever I have all these other things that come, all these other students that come in, or other things that get in my way, because see, I am a task-oriented person. And if I'm in the middle of a task, whether it be praying or whatever, and somebody comes into my task, it doesn't matter how much I love them. Okay? And I have to be careful about that. I have to know my personality. So, in making a decision, if that decision is going to affect, it just does sometimes. It affects who I am, has to be considered. So I've got my physical limitations, emotional, mental limitations, my personality. There are other things, spiritual gifts. We talk about it all the time, do spiritual gifts inventory. That has to do with the decision that I'm making because it's a part of my shape as who God has created me to be. Okay? So spiritual gifts have something to do with the decisions you make. If you are supposed to be... If you're supposed to be in a job that's going to desire, that's going to demand a lot of compassion, then there are certain spiritual gifts that line you up perfect for that job. And then there are other spiritual gifts that if they're dominant in your mix, you better not do that. Because ultimately what you're going to find is it isn't going to work well. Because your prophet gift is not going to help you in a compassion, kindness, mercy kind of environment. It is not going to work. You with me so far? Okay, three, talents and abilities. Okay, these are factors. Okay, talents and abilities. That's why Jason Rockwell ended up being the chaplain for the Savannah Sandnats whenever they're here. And why he is now, working in FCA with ministering in the area of reaching baseball players and baseball teams in the area of Savannah. It's because of talents and abilities. And so choices that he had to make, he made because of his talents and abilities. If he did not have those talents and abilities, he would not have made certain decisions. Does this make sense? Interests? Okay, so that goes in that same direction. Okay, next question, John. So the next thing is what we're going to spend most of this time on for the next 10 minutes. And that has to do with spiritual maturity level as the New Testament defines it. Okay? Not as our culture defines it, not as the institutional church defines it, but as the Bible defines it. Because it's different. You all know that. We say this all the time. Butts and seats do not equal maturity. Okay? Okay. Investment, financial investment doesn't indicate maturity. Okay? So here's some things that we see the Bible talking about when it talks about maturity. We're going to talk about these. Now, listen to how I'm going to position this. There are certain decisions we're going to make better whenever we are more spiritually mature. If you ask a four-year-old, do you want carrots or do you want gummy bears? We're going with gummy bears. Okay? So, we have to understand. See, God's speaking. Okay. So the issue is, if we are spiritual four-year-olds and we get asked whether we want carrots or gummy bears, we're going to pick gummy bears. But if we're more mature after we've lived some and God has demonstrated His ability to work in our lives, and we can trust Him. And He's given us some victories and things. We see things from a different perspective. David. He was young, but he had fought lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. So, who was Goliath when it came time to dealing with the fear that everybody else in Israel had? He had already fought battles. He had already won battles. He had seen God do stuff. And he saw it in a different light because he had, even though he was young, he had already matured in certain ways. I'm not saying God was finished with him. He wasn't, because he messed up later. Y'all get it. So let's look at this. First of all is obedience. Obedience is a part. Obedience goes back to that first most solid level. When we know God has said, He has demonstrated, He has spoken, and it's there, and only a knucklehead would not pay attention to it, then obedience, disobedience is a very important part of maturity. We're not mature if we're going to disregard what God said. Because the times have changed, or it's not that way anymore. No. We're talking about God versus my opinion. My opinion doesn't matter. I can have this opinion all day long. What I'm saying is, do I believe that there is a God in heaven who has said, this is the way I ought to live? Number one, because it's going to bless me. Number two, because it honors Him. And if I'm not willing to entertain that, then I'm not going to make good decisions. And it has to do with me, my internal filter. Does this make sense? Second is discipline. So the things that I do, okay, whether it's asking God to help me with self-control, or whether it's being disciplined to tithe, or whether it's being disciplined to spend time listening to God, however that might be throughout my day, giving God time to help me spiritually breathe, focus on Him and listen to Him. If I don't have that discipline, it's going to affect how I make decisions. Teachability. Am I willing to be the one who needs to change? Or am I going to be a knucklehead and say, oh no, I've got this one, God, thank you very much. Or anybody else who can, you know, help me with something that I need to know or hear. If I'm going to be unteachable, then the problem is I'm probably going to make some stupid decisions, because if I'm not going to learn from other people, then He's going to say, okay, thank you very much. Here you go, bud. Learn from your own mistakes. And He lets us. Sacrificially selfless. If we get to this point, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Have this mind which was also in Christ Jesus, who did not consider Himself, but humbled Himself even to the point of death on a cross. To be a sacrifice for others. We were supposed to have that attitude. So this is a part of the lens, part of the filter that we bring, the internal part, to when we make a decision. Because if we're being selfish, and this decision calls for us not to be selfish, we're going to make the wrong decision. The decision's going to be tainted. Does this make sense? Engaged in one, spiritual battles. I've talked with you about that already. And the other is big picture versus short term. Okay, I deal with this all the time. Well, I wanted to do this. Well, yeah, you wanted to do this, but you didn't take care of this. Because the big picture is this. So spiritually speaking, it's God's big picture versus my short term. If I can only focus on the short term, now I know we have to live in the now. Don't get me wrong. But we have to do it with a kingdom mindset. How does this event, this decision, fit in the big picture? It's not just some little isolated thing. Our lives are not isolated. They're part of a continuum. God's story. His story. So, who we are in our internal filter, what God's doing in our life, what He's been doing in our life, all these things affect how we make a decision. Does this make sense to you? So, it's not just, oh, today I'm 5'3", 190-something pounds. And what can I do or not do at this point? It's the fact that I've known this from the day that I was 17 years old. And I knew some of these things from before that. And that has an effect on what choices I can or should make right now. I hate to run. I'm not going to be a marathoner. You get it? All right, so let's look at our model as we finish today. So we've got the first two filter parts that we've gone through. So today we get to internal factors, our shape, submission, conformity to Christ. That's what we're talking about when we look at those seven or eight things that we talked about there in the kingdom priorities. So let's say we have no direction or prohibition in biblical revelation. There's nothing there that says, yes, do this or do that. Then we have a lack of revelatory information or in conjunction with it. So he hasn't spoken through the Bible in a definitive way. We don't have the dream, vision, or impression necessarily, or we may, either way. Let's say we want to make sure that we're doing what God wants to do. So we go to this third level, we look at who we are, who God has made us to be. So we take the same example that we did about going north to North Dakota. So the job opportunity presents itself, it's in North Dakota. A friend that is in the past has received what God was doing, has prayed with you. They have actually lived in North Dakota in their past. Their conviction is that God is talking to you. Meanwhile, you learn that a kind of ministry that you have desired to take part of is located there, and you find that they need someone with your shape. But that's not where the job is. So do you see where I'm going with this? Okay? Okay. Again, the hypothetical is never perfect. Every analogy and every hypothetical breaks down at some point. Okay? So we're just trying to learn from it. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, okay, when we get in another 2 weeks, okay, when we get to the end of this, if you think this is helping you learn how to consider things, we're going to look at some scenarios, and we're going to see how the scenario works through the filter. And I'm going to let you talk some things through together, probably in smaller groups, to try to process, okay, if I was facing this decision here, what would I need to consider? Does this make sense? You like this? All right, next week, we're going to talk about the situation, the context of the decision, because there are factors that are involved in that are very important, okay? And yes, sometimes God does speak through time, okay? We are frozen in time. We live in time. God doesn't, but we do. I read an article yesterday, and then I'll close. It said there's no such thing as death, which I knew anyway, but to some degree, what they were saying. They were looking at it from this physicist view that we just have an eternal string of now moments. You got to go find this on Facebook. It's fascinating. I don't know that I agree with it, but it does. Anyway, it opens up all kind of things. Read it if you can. I'll see if I can't figure out what it is. But the reason why I bring it up is I don't think that we can make good decisions if we think every moment is an island unto itself. Every moment is not an island unto itself, because every decision puts us in a context that changes in how we want to live and how we want to influence. You can't say that every moment is an island unto it. All right, so let's pray. Yes, please, Lynn. God can use those kind of events to help us make decisions. I think in the course of the stories you're telling, unless that was there to help you make a decision, it wasn't necessarily about decision making. But God, nonetheless, orchestrates those kind of things all throughout. And I've told you stories about how I see students that I've taught from my alma mater in Atlanta back when in the 80s. I'll see those students here in Savannah now out of nowhere. And that's just, you know, what is God doing? I don't know. But He does do it. All right, so let's pray. Father, I pray that You'd keep teaching us, that we would be teachable. Lord, we want to make decisions that honor You. We want to make decisions that will further Your purpose in our lives and further Your purpose in Your kingdom here. Lord, as long as we have breath. And Lord, even beyond, because once we're gone, the decisions we make will affect other people. Lord, help us to accept that and, Lord, be at peace with that. Help us to maximize who You've made us to be. And Lord, help us to understand how that shapes even the decision that we make this afternoon. I thank You, and I look forward to what You're going to do and say this week. In Jesus' name.